Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you, Father, for this time we're going to spend together in your word, and thank you, Dad, for an awesome time of worship that we could spend together, just glorifying your name, glorifying your magnitude, how big you are, Father. Thank you, Father, in our minds, we can do that. It doesn't make you bigger. You are already as big as you are. But in worship, we can just glorify you. Just remind ourselves how good you are, how much you love us. Thank you, Father, that we can be confident this evening. We can be confident of the truth that you sent your Son to die for us so that we can have life and enjoy an intimate relationship with you. Thank you, Father, that we can just forget about everything that happened in this day. If we had a busy day, if we had a busy week, Father, that we can just sit back, just open up our hearts, receive from your life-giving word, your incorruptible seed. Thank you, Father, as we just receive that seed which is incorruptible, we can be expectant for an harvest. A harvest that will be a blessing to us and to the people around us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just ministering truth to us as we open up our hearts and dig into your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So we're busy with the series Fit for the Kingdom, and we started off last week. We're finishing tonight. It's only a two-part series. And last week we dug into this amazing truth that we have been qualified. We've been made fit to enter into the kingdom. And we looked at the fact that throughout Scripture, most of the time when it's referring to kingdom, it's not just referring to heaven one day with Jesus, but it's referring to the gospel of God's grace and how we have been made fit and qualified to partake of that and to enjoy God's kingdom of His glorious grace. And that was amazing. We had a great time. I enjoyed the ministry, and I heard some testimonies of people who also enjoyed the ministry, which is good. Doesn't help that just the preacher up front enjoys the ministry, but obviously the people receiving the word as well. But I encourage you to get that resource. Next week we'll launch the full package, the two-part series, Fit for the Kingdom. And tonight we're going to look at staying fit. Staying fit is all about patience to continue in the gospel of God's amazing grace. So last week we looked at we have been made fit, and tonight we're looking at staying fit in the kingdom, continuing in the kingdom, and being patient to continue in the kingdom. So we're going to look at the different meanings of the word patience that comes up throughout the Bible. And I think whenever we want to define something and get the purpose behind something, let's not go anywhere else but God's Word, the Creator of all things, to define them for us. Because like anything in life, if we want to get the most out of it, go to the author, the Creator of it, so that you can get the most out of it, receive the blessings from it. I used the example this morning just with regards to marriage. If you want to really have a blessed, godly marriage, you need to go to God's Word and see what marriage is all about and what His purposes are for marriage. So we're going to look at God defining the word patience for us and how it comes up throughout the Bible in different ways. And I think if we generally look at the word patience, or if we get that general phrase from a fellow believer or sister encouraging us, hey man, just be patient, wait on God, in His perfect timing it will come to pass. And a lot of times that's pretty discouraging, because you don't really know what that means. Be patient, wait on the Lord. But that sounds so super, super passive. And as we're going to look at these definitions and descriptions of the word patience, we're going to see that it's everything but passive. It's everything but just sitting around and wasting time. So I'm not going to, I got these four words from the Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionaries. I'm not going to pronounce them because I don't like being corrected. If any Greek scholars are in the service, no, I'm joking. I think it's a good godly characteristic to have meekness, to be teachable, and to receive correction. So that's not why I don't want to say them out. I just don't want to embarrass myself. Okay, cool. So I'm going to look at the four different words, and the four different words, I'm just going to use some synonyms for them. And the first one, talking about patience, it's talking about a remaining, a undergoing, to bear trials, have fortitude, persevere, abide, endure. We sang this amazing song, abiding in God, abiding in His love. And John 15 talking about God being the vineyard, and we're going to look at that later. So this is talking about an abiding, an enduring. Then the second word is talking about a cheerful, a hopeful endurance. So cheerfully, hopefully enduring, having a consistency, patience, continuance of waiting. Then the third word is talking about to be long-spirited, be long-suffering, have long patience, be patient and patiently endure. And then the last word is talking about a longanimity, a forbearance, long-suffering or patience. So clearly, if you looked at these four words, you can clearly get the point that patience is not passive. It's talking about an enduring, so it's talking about a continuing in something, long-suffering. So it's not passive. Patience doesn't come on you like a sneeze. It's definitely active. It's something that we need to pursue. And all of these elements that we looked at now, the four different words, have this enduring description, continuing in. So staying fit for the kingdom is going to take a lot of patience, and more specifically, endurance. And I think we live in a time where everything, obviously, everything in this world is countering the purposes of God in our lives, countering what we are supposed to do and how we're supposed to walk. Even with patience, we're living in a time where everything is microwave mentality. Like, I want a fix now. I want the solution now. If it takes 2 seconds too long, I get super frustrated and I kind of give up. I just leave it. So the world is definitely pulling us into this mentality of wanting to just do things quickly. It's not promoting this endurance, this patient endurance and this continuance. And last week, as I said, we looked at the beautiful truth that we have been made fit for the kingdom. And there's only one way to be made fit for the kingdom, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's opened up the door for us. He said that I am the door. You can only enter through into the kingdom through me. And then there's only one way to really stay in this kingdom, and that's obviously through Jesus. But more specifically, our focus on Jesus and our continuance to focus on Jesus and what He's done for us. Jesus is our qualification. And if we just patiently wait on Him, we'll stay on track. The saying holds true, it's not about how you start, but how you finish. And a lot of us are probably, I think when it comes to New Year's, we've got all of the New Year's resolutions, that sugar-free diet and that chocolate fast and all of these things. And it's so easy to start those things off, like a diet, eh? Day one, you know, I've quit the chocolate, it's in the past now. And then tomorrow eats, and then, ooh, you see that chocolate cake, and then it's that start of something just came to an end. Or even if you look at a dating relationship, a new dating relationship for potential spouse, super easy in the beginning, and then things get real. Life gets real. I'm happily married now for almost 3 years, and I'm still enjoying that dating relationship, that things are still fresh and easy for me. Hashtag brownie points. Like I said, if we don't have the right thing, the right view on things and our reasoning and our purpose for starting things, we're not going to be able to continue in those things. If we don't have the right perspective and motive behind starting things, we're not going to be able to endure and continue with those things. And it's similar to God's kingdom and His grace. We have to have things in perspective, seeing who's our qualification and how we can stay in this kingdom. And we're gonna get into that now. Who of you enjoy a good old jog? Okay, we've just as few hands as this morning. So obviously, most of us just use running as a survival tactic, and that's also great to use your running as a survival tactic. I also enjoy a run every now and then. We generally go for a run about once a month, or my wife goes more often, but I do it about once a month. I'm not a big runner, but if we look at the Word of God, so often it brings us to this conclusion or this picture of our Christian life is about running this race. It's about continuing on this race, and there's some important elements to running a race, and we're going to look at them, and then we're going to look at how all of these elements really come out throughout the Word of God and through the Scriptures we're going to look at this evening. First of all, diet. The diet is super important. If you're going to run a marathon, I heard there's a phrase, carbo loading. I don't know what that is all about. But there's important diet restrictions to you when you prepare for something or when you want to compete in a race. Then obviously knowing what race you're competing in. When you're going to compete for the marathon, you're going to have to train, apparently, they say, 6 months prior to the marathon. You really need to get into a strict training schedule. So you need to know what race you're competing in so that you can prepare accordingly and properly. Then obviously knowing your potential, knowing what you are able to do and what you're not able to do. Then, like I mentioned, there's a training element, there's a qualifying element, which is awesome. Jesus has already qualified us, so it's great. We're partaking in the race through his qualification. Then there's a rest element, there's the right gear element, wearing the right gear. In Ephesians, it's talking about this armor of God and that we need to put on the whole armor of God. And obviously that armor is such a vital role to us also, continuing on this race in the kingdom, the helmet of salvation, realizing through who we've been saved, the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness do we have? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus is talking about us being made righteous through him. He became sin for us so that we can be made the righteousness of God in him. So identifying with that, and obviously the sword, which is referring to the word of God, which is such a vital thing that we do at Grace Life, is the word of God, which is awesome, man. There's a real reason and purpose behind God's word being our sword. And then the shield of faith, walking in faith, the faith of God, which is a fruit of the Spirit. And then let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 3. And I'm going to read verse 1 from the easy-to-read version. And it says, "We all have these great people around us as examples. Their lives tell us what faith means. So we too should run the race that is set before us and never quit. We should remove from our lives anything that would slow us down and the sin that so often make us fall." So firstly, it's talking about chapter 11, it's talking about the our fathers of faith, Moses, Abraham, David, all of these great characters from the Bible, these great people who exemplified what faith is really about. And yet, continuing into chapter 12, the writer says, "We have all these great people around us as examples." So we can learn from the examples. There's the saying that says, no, experience is the best teacher. But you can save a lot of time, effort, and tears when you just learn from other people's examples and what they've done and what they should have done, rather. So we can learn from these examples. So that is really talking about a support structure, and we'll get into that support that God has called us to more in a few minutes. And then he says, "Their lives tell us what faith means. So we too should run the race that is set before us and never quit." So this is really sad that Paul has to write to these guys, saying that run the race that is set before you so you can never quit, focusing on Jesus. So obviously there are people that fall away. They start off well. They start off with zeal, and they just want to change the world. And then a few years later, you don't see them. You don't know where they're at. There's no more serving of God, walking in that fellowship. So it's a real thing, and we need to take knowledge or pay attention to the fact that if we don't run with purpose and with direction, we are also going to faint and fall by the wayside. The King James Version talks here about running this race with patience. Running this race with patience, perseverance, and endurance. Like we looked at the definition of the word patience. And then, obviously, verse 2, which is awesome. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So focus is a vital key in running this race. And we're going to look at focus coming up over and over again throughout the scriptures. Focusing on Jesus. Looking at what is in front of you. Jesus, who's called us. And Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, from the beginning, he qualified us to enter. And until the day we enter into heaven with him one day, he will be the one that carries us through. It's not going to change in between. It's been Jesus from the beginning, and it will be Jesus up until the end as well. And we need to take note of that and pay attention to that. Pay close attention to him being our author and our finisher in this race. And then looking at the despising this shame, and going on to verse 3, also considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So there are always going to be people around us that are either going to add to our race and promote us and build us up, encourage us, spur us on, and be like, hey man, you can do this. Keep going, keep going. I'm behind you. I'm backing you. God loves you. Just keep going for it. Or there's going to be the other crowd. No man, that's impossible. Can't be. No, you can't do that. Look at your past. Look where you were 5 years ago. Like now you're trying to be this whole other person. And we're going to look at some more scripture where we really need to be actively choosing who we surround ourselves with. Because who we're surrounding ourselves with is going to either add to this race and promote us and build us up to continue or draw us away from. Like Jesus, he had to despise this shame. He had to endure, persevere through the contradictions of the sinners around him. Jesus, his most loved people, the people that he spent the most time with, his disciples, all of them just vanished when he needed them the most. And he could either despise those things or magnify them and make them big. Oh, I can't believe they forsook me. I can't believe this. What am I going to do now? I can't carry on like this. No, he despised those things. And we also need to, in life, sometimes decide whose words and things that are being spoken to us, whose do we value and whose don't we value? We need to choose. We get to choose. Get to choose that. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. I'm going to read verse 24 and 25. Paul writing these awesome words. But none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, this race, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So he has really two things. But none of these things move me. There are always going to be things that are going to be able to move you. And you get to choose whether they move you or whether they don't move you. Paul went through hardships, shipwreck, stoned, imprisoned, beaten, like you name it, being without food for days. But none of those things moved him. It didn't pull him away from this course, this race that he was running, keeping focused on Jesus. If Paul could do it, as one of our examples, if Paul could do it, so can we, through the power and the ability of Jesus Christ. Verse 25, he carries on, he says, and now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So yet Paul is talking about preaching the kingdom of God. And in verse 24, he was testifying the gospel of the grace of God. So here again, just illustrating this beautiful truth that the gospel, the good news of the grace of God is about the kingdom of God. It's the same thing, and we've been qualified partake and enter this kingdom. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So like I said, we should forget what is behind us. All of us have a past. Paul had a past. Paul had a worse past than most of us. I don't think anyone here has persecuted Christians in the last week. Or if you have, you are forgiven. God loves you. But stop doing that. It's unnecessary. We shouldn't be condemning one another and persecuting one another. But Paul, he persecuted Christians, and he had to also choose to forget the things which are behind, forget his past, and move forward. And Paul could definitely, or I'm pretty sure he definitely had these moments where people would come up to him and be like, but aren't you Saul? Aren't you Saul who persecuted the church of God, Christians? Why should I listen to you? Like, I'm pretty sure there's some strings attached here in what you're trying to tell me. Like, I heard that you killed Christians. Now you want to come and tell me that you yourself are a Christian. And so Paul had to look past those things, forget about his past, and look forward and focus on the he's saying here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was purposeful, he had direction, he was going somewhere, he was looking to something, looking to Jesus. He was focused on what was set before him, his new life in Christ, forgetting about what's behind him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, and this is also, I say this so often, like this is a favorite passage of scripture of mine, and there are so many awesome passages of scripture that are just amazing and just life-giving, like building us up and encouraging us. And that's what God's word does. It feeds us. It builds us up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. I'm going to read from the easy to read again. But because of God's grace, that is what I am. And His grace that He gave me was not wasted. I worked harder than they all the other apostles. But I was not really the one working. It was God's grace that was within me. That is awesome. Paul was focusing on the grace of God. His qualification. God's grace was his qualification. God made the way for him to enter into the kingdom. And he focused on that. The word grace here is used 3 times in this one verse. 3 times. Paul says, it was not I, but the grace of God that was bestowed upon me. So Paul kept his focus, his attention on God's grace, his ability, his enabling power to do more than they all of the other apostles. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He could have only done that and looked past his past, his failures, his persecuting the body of Christ, and do what he did through the supernatural ability and enabling power of God's amazing grace. And I think I had fun thinking about this illustration about just really Paul talking about looking forward, continuing forward, forgetting the things that are behind. And I don't know if any of you guys recently tried to run a sprint or just run by looking back 180 degrees. If you did, then I'm sure I would see some bruises or some blood, but I don't see any here. If you guys wanna practice some healing, we can try an illustration if there's time after the service of running at full speed by trying to look behind us and see what happens. Let's go on to Galatians chapter 6 verse 8-9. But the point just is that God hasn't called us to run and to walk our lives by looking at what is behind us, looking at our past failures, our mistakes, anything like that. And a lot of times what we do is we disqualify ourselves by our unbelief and by our own condemnation, our own condemning thoughts. And then the other side of it is obviously allowing other people to condemn us, placing value on other people's words of us and their thoughts of us, placing higher value on what they think than what God thinks of us. Galatians 6, verse 8-9. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So yeah, it's really talking about that diet element that we spoke about. Like we get to choose what we sow towards. The flesh, which is obviously contradicting the Word of God, or then the Word, feasting on the Word, sowing the Word, focusing on the Word, which is Jesus. So we get to choose that. And then in Romans 8 verse 6, it says, to be carnally minded leads to death, but to be spiritually minded leads to life and peace. So if you want life and peace, if you want to endure, focus on Jesus, the Word of life. And then Jesus, his first temptation by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, when Satan tempted him to turn the bread or the stone into bread, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the Word of God. And that is a really amazing word for us, that we don't just live by our flesh and feeding our flesh. Those things are important because who of you know that if you're down in the dumps, you can't be ministering the Word of God. Like if you a broken vessel physically, if you're not taking care of your body, you're not going to be an effective minister and witness for the kingdom. So we need to take care of our physical bodies as well. But that's not the main focus. Romans 15 verse 4, easy to read version, It says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us those things which were written so that we could have hope. That hope comes from the patience and encouragement that the Scripture gives us. All patience and encouragement come from God. And I pray that God will help you all agree with each other as Christ Jesus wants. So God's Word is the only thing that's going to keep us in this race, keep us in this kingdom, keep us enduring, encouraging us. That's the first and foremost thing that we need to focus on and feed ourselves with is God's Word in order to stay focused, stay on track with this race that we've been called into His kingdom, into His grace. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Verse 9, resist him. Firm in your faith. That's an active thing, resisting. Firm in your faith, standing in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So we've got this opponent. There's an opponent trying to distract us, trying to manipulate us, trying to get us off of track. But by submitting to God's Word, James 4 verse 7, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil and he will flee. By submitting ourselves to God's Word, embracing and abiding in the love of God and His Word, we can just resist, rebuke the devil and he will flee. It's a promise from God. So it's all been given to us. The weapons to fight this fight, to run this race, the gear, it's been given to us. We just need to stand in it and experience the victory. So I always love using the illustration of a seed, and our God's Word is this amazing seed that we get to plant. And in Galatians 6 is talking about if we sow the seed, in due time we'll reap and harvest. God's Word being the incorruptible seed. It's got all of this ability and power. And as we just take that seed, sow it into our hearts, plant it into the ground, which is our heart, Mark 4, it's really just going to produce what it's promised. God's Word doesn't lie. It's effective. It's life-giving. If we take that and we nourish the seed, plant it into our hearts, it will produce what it's promised to produce. But a lot of time we kind of go in and we abort that seed. We abort the promises by taking our attention off of that promise, taking our attention off of the supplier, the source, the life behind that seed. And I also like using the picture that once that seed has been planted into our hearts, like you determine what other things are being sown onto that ground, onto your heart. And again, coming into the picture of you need to wisely choose who you allow to speak into your life, because they can be sowing other seeds of distraction and deception that will smother that seed. If we look at the illustration or the picture of the parable of the four swirls, the one with the least things in the swirl, they produce the life. So we need to focus on one thing. Take in one thing, God's Word. Focus on that one thing. Meditate on that one thing. And we'll see the promises come to fruition. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read verse 28 and 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faint not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. That is amazing. Isaiah proclaiming, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth, faint not, neither is weary. And like hearing about something is one thing, hearing about something. But it's taking that what you hear. John 8 verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you don't know something, if you haven't heard something, and you don't take that hearing to heart, it's not going to produce any fruit. We need to take what we hear and not let it be intellectual knowing, knowledge. Oh, I've heard about Jesus. Oh, I know who Jesus is. But But do you really intimately know Him? Do you have that intimate relationship with Him? It's through that that we experience the full benefits and the blessings of this life and the relationship of Jesus. So yeah, it's amazing again looking at the Creator of the ends of the earth. He faints not, neither is He weary. And we've been made in the image of God. From the beginning, God's design, His heart for us to be in His likeness and in His image. Walk in that. Verse 29, He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's awesome. If we look at the illustration here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that waiting is, again, it's not something passive. It's not something that looks like someone that sits on a couch, turns on the television and watch some series. That's not what it's talking about. That waiting on the Lord is, again, not a passive thing, but an active thing. If you look at the word wait here, it's almost as in this that illustration of a waiter waiting on a table. There's a continuous urgency to see, how can I serve? What can I do? How can I help? So that is the picture of waiting. It's an active thing, pursuing and seeking God in that matter. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We are made for the kingdom and to run with endurance in the kingdom. And like I said earlier on, looking at or having the support, running in a marathon, it's really important now, so I've heard. I'm talking about something that I haven't done before. But I've done some research or I've spoken to some people who've done some marathons. And that it's so much preparation time that goes into that, like the build up to the big marathon. Hours and hours on the road, early mornings. And if you've got a spouse that isn't competing in that marathon with you, you're going to need their support. Like, it's not going to help if they get all upset with you, and like, because it's plenty of hours that you spend on the road preparing. If you think about it, a marathon is, can't even think now, it's probably plenty of hours. but yeah, just the illustration, you really just need that support. You just really need that support in running that race. And just like that, we need a support of people around us to build us up and to encourage us in this race that we're running. Paul had an awesome support system, and he wrote this to the Philippian church in chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. I'm going to read from the easy-to-read version. I thank God every time I remember you, and always pray for all of you with joy. I thank God for the help you gave me while I told people the good news. You helped me from the first day you believed until now. I'm sure that the good work God began in you will continue until He completes it on the day when Jesus Christ comes again. I know I'm right to think like this about you because you are so close to my heart. This is because you have all played such an important part in God's grace to me. Now, during this time that I am in prison and whenever I am defending and proving the truth of the good news, God knows that I want to be very much to see you. I love you all with the love of Christ Jesus. So yeah, the Philippian church really supported Paul financially, even while he was planting other churches. And it's really just amazing to see Paul not thinking that, wow, I'm definitely the self-made man, like I did well, me, myself, and I. Paul didn't have that mentality. Here he expressed, like, you can just see the love and the gratitude behind these words. It expressed that thankfulness of the church in Philippians who supported him, who was there for him. They supported him in this race, he says, in his calling to share the gospel of the grace of God. To share that, they were there for him. And so do we as believers. God didn't call us to be lone rangers in this world. He called us into a community, into a body, to support one another, to build up one another, to pray for one another, to minister to one another, to share the gifts of the body. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And we're slowly closing off, coming to a landing. Hebrews 6, verse 11 to 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. Who through faith and... verse 12. That ye be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So this is yet again the writer of Hebrews saying the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. Talking about this continuing on this race, keeping focus, keeping on track. Again, making this point that it's not a given. Entering into the kingdom, experiencing the full blessings of God, and being enjoying his fellowship and that community. It's not a given that that's going to continue on until the end. We have to stay in this mindset of knowing who has qualified us to enter, and by focusing on Him, we can continue in and finish this race with joy and finish it strong. Not just start it and then fall out, but start and finish completing it. But again, it's talking about this not being slothful, not being lazy, who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Verse 13, for when God made promise to Abram, because he could not swear by any great, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So again, there was an active endurance, a patient endurance, a consistency, a continuing in on the promises that God made Abraham, and he saw the promise fulfilled through enduring on and staying focused on that promise that God gave him, that seed, planting it deep into his heart, taking care of that seed. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23. You can read 23 and 26. I do all this to make the good news known. I do it so that I can share in the blessings of the good news. You know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one runner gets the prize. So run like that. Run to win. Again, this kingdom race, it's with purpose. There's direction. There's an attitude of, I'm running this race. I'm competing in this race. I'm running to God, focusing on God. There's this determination and complete direction, running to with a purpose. It's not purposeless. It's not without direction. If you're not going to aim at anything, you're going to hit it every time. God wants you to have direction and purpose and be focused in this race that we're running with Him. Verse 25, all who compete in the games use strict training. So again, the world knows exactly. There's so many worldly illustrations where there's training. They see the benefit of training, that preparation time that needs to go into it. How do we miss it as believers? The truth and the importance of training, preparing ourselves, building ourselves up through the Word of God, getting that diet in, getting that preparation in through studying the Word of God, through meditating on the Word of God. It takes endurance. It takes continuance. The Word is not just going to fall into your head all supernaturally. We need to partake. We need to enjoy. We need to invest into the Word and get that training in, that preparation. Then it goes on. It says, they do this so that they can win a prize, one that doesn't last. So the world's prize doesn't last, but our prize is one that will last forever. Amen. Verse 26, so I run like someone who has a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just the air. So we need to be purposeful in running this race. Making this point over and over again, we need to be focused on who has called us and who is our nourishment, our diet, to carry on in this race. Second last scripture, John 15, verse 3 to 5, we sang that beautiful song about abiding in the branch. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Again, awesome. God's word cleanses us. The gospel, His love, it cleanses us. We've been cleaned through God's word, through receiving His word. Obviously through the blood of Jesus that's been spilled. But in our minds, we remind ourselves of what has taken place and enjoy that freedom through reminding ourselves. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him shall bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And again, this word abiding is not just talking about a passive thing. It's talking about a pushing into, pressing into, and taking that rest in Jesus. If you know that it's rest doesn't just happen naturally. You need to plan in some rest. Otherwise, you're gonna burn out. Like I said, we live in this driven culture and this culture of like doing. So if we're not gonna plan in the rest, it's not gonna come on us. So we need to press into abiding in Jesus. It doesn't happen automatically. And then the last passage of scripture we're going to is from Matthew 14. I'm going to read verse 22, and then we're going to jump to 28, and then I'm just going to color in the dots in between. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So yeah, just a few verses before, Jesus fed 5,000 men, excluding the women and the children. So an awesome miracle. The disciples witnessed this miracle. It was awesome. I'm sure they were blessed. Their tummies were full. They're ready to go on to the other side of the lake. Verse 28. So now what's happened? A storm has arose and the disciples are on the boat. Jesus is nowhere. And all of a sudden they see an image in the distance and it's Jesus. And Peter says this, Matthew 14, verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee, unto the water. And I had a good laugh when I read this. Out of all of the things that Peter could have asked Jesus to do, he asked him to allow him to come and have a stroll on the water with him. Pretty funny if you think about it. There's this crazy storm, like the disciples are panicking. I'm sure water is coming into the boat, and they see Jesus, and like they're not sure if it's Jesus, but if it is you, Jesus, not calm the storm, like make us just like supernaturally be translated from the lake to the shore. We just want to get out of this boat. We just want to be on dry land. No, I want to walk on the wet water that is like causing this havoc. I want to walk with you on the water. And I think the other disciples were thinking, Peter, really? Like, is this what you want to do? Now we have to watch you walk on water while we're still panicking and like fighting for our lives. Great idea, Peter. Great idea. He was such an opportunist. Verse 29. So then it carries on. It says, Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. So Peter didn't just stand on the water, but he was walking on the water. And Jesus was obviously a distance away, so Jesus was walking towards Jesus, walking on the water. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And who of you know that the wind, the storm, the magnitude of the storm had no effect on Peter's ability to walk on the water? Like, Peter walking on the water was supernatural. Like, if there was a storm, if there wasn't a storm, Peter wouldn't have been naturally able to walk on the water. Okay, so we're making that, we've got that clear. But Peter saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O, you have little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? So we get this picture, like I said before. Peter stepped out of the boat, standing on the water, and he's starting to walk. And he's walking, and he's walking. And then, all of a sudden, we get this picture. When Peter started sinking, Jesus was right there to catch him and to take his hand. So it's clear to get this picture. And so often, we also fall into this trap and this mentality of, man, we trust in God. Like, it's going tough now. I need a breakthrough. I'm trusting God. I'm pressing in, studying the Word. I'm trying to meditate on this. I want to see this promise fulfilled in my life. We're just pressing on and it's going well and we're enduring. And then we see things happen and now it's going well. And then we kind of forget of that pressing in, enduring, that continuance in the Word. And Peter also here, you get that picture of like when he needed to trust in God, like he was trusting and it was going well. And then all of a sudden, that trust became less and less. And he started looking at himself and his ability. And he lost focus of that trusting Jesus, needing Jesus. Verse 32 says, and when they, after Jesus catching him, it carries on, it says, and when they were come into the ship, Jesus and Peter, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of truth, thou art the Son of God. And again, it's like, wow, you just saw so many, like, not even talking about all of the other miracles. You saw 5,000 people being fed. But now only you see me as truly, this is the Son of God. And I think all of us, we kind of look at the disciples' lives and we think, man, if that was me, I wouldn't have doubted. Like, I wouldn't have fallen into that trap. No, not me. And I think, again, we need to be real with ourselves and learn from the examples of the people that have gone before us. Learn from them and see that if they could have fallen out of the grace of God by their unbelief, by their stinking thinking, by their losing focus of the race that was set before him, so it can happen with us too. And we've got all of these examples. We've got this word that we share tonight that really just builds us up on this picture and this truth that we need to continue in, patiently continue in and endure this time we've got with God and surround ourselves with the right people to build us up in God's promises and his word. We need to continue to feast and feed ourselves with the word of God. Last scripture, Galatians 5 verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk and run in the Spirit. Feeding ourselves with God's Word, His life. And we will continue, endure until the end. And not faint, not grow weary. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this Word that is just so life-giving. And thank you, Dad, just for by your Spirit revealing all of these blessings to us through your Word. Thank you, Father, that we can all, as sons and daughters of you, our King, our Father, can run this race, continue in this race, patiently enduring, with purpose, with direction, not passively sitting around, but pressing in, pressing towards you, opening our hearts towards you, studying, meditating on your truth from your word, which is life-giving. Thank you, Father, that we can just be encouraged and stirred up to do these things. Not put a burden on us, not feel condemned when we don't get to that time, Father, but through your Spirit, thank you that you're revealing to us continually the importance of, if we want to carry on this race, if we want to press forward, if we want to stay strong in this race, compete strong in this race, Father, we need to keep our focus on you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.